Hallelujah. Whew. Shalom, shalom. First Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. Now, this is the New Living Translation. It says, but this is precisely what is written. God has prepared things for those who love him that no eye has seen, or ear has heard, or that haven't crossed the mind of any human being. There are many things, blessings, which God has prepared for those who love him. Question for you. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
What God has prepared for us is all good. Yes. If it ain't good, it ain't God.
Right.
In James chapter 1, verse 17, of the New King James Version. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I like that. Every good gift, every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in the shining of whom there can be no variation, raising or setting or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. Amplify Classic. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So tell me, is he good? Tell me, is he God? He is good God Almighty. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's Jehovah. Plans to prosper you. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
Yeah.
Remember what hope is here. How would you like it? Hope here means a confident expectation of success.
Yeah.
And that's the Lord Jehovah speaking over you. That all sounds like good to me. See, my point is, God does not send us bad things. He wants us to have the best. So if you're not experiencing the best, check out your love walk. And take a close look at the person in the mirror that's looking back at you.
That's right.
Now, if someone tells you that God took your spouse so you could grow spiritually, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell, I'm telling you. Yes, someone was told that. But in John 10:10, it says, and Jesus speaking says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Period. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. See, that does not sound like he's taking someone's loved one away so they could grow spiritually. He doesn't do that kind of thing. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to show you this. says, and here this, I'm going to agree, come on, Tim, you were right on line here, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Yeah. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. How many did he heal?
All
of them. Because that's what it said up there. They brought to him all the sick people. And he says he healed them. He healed them. God is in the healing business. He's about miracles, signs, and wonders. He doesn't want anybody sick. Jesus' physical body was broken and beaten for our healing. 2,000 years ago, when he went to the cross for you and me. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has bore our griefs. That word griefs is sicknesses. So he bore our sicknesses and he carried our sorrows. That word is pains. Carried your pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Aren't you ready for this? And by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. In 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He did not deceive anyone. He did not tell lies. He did not speak any bad words from his mouth. How many of you can say that?
Yeah.
See, Jesus set the example. And we got to work hard at that. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. When they beat those nails down through his hands, said, forgive them, Lord. And they know not what they do. Because if they would have, they would not have crucified Jesus. Because evil didn't know what they were doing that day. It was all part of the plan. But committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Ready? By whose stripes you were healed. Were healed means we are healed.
That's right.
And we are healed means we were healed. See, there's nothing wrong with you saying, I'm healed. I got this going, but I'm healed. I know what God says. And I'm going to take God's word over any report from the doctor.
Yeah.
It's the word. It's the word. God's word will not return void.
No.
What we send it out for to do, it will accomplish. It doesn't fall to the ground. Sickness and disease come from the devil and not from God. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, who was beaten beyond human recognition for you and me to be healed. God the Father and his Son that day demonstrated the power of love, what agape love could do. God on the third day demonstrated the power of love again when he resurrected his Son Jesus from the grave. So I ask you, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Angels, you take care of everything that's going on. We can't imagine all that God has in store for us in this lifetime and for eternity. But as born again, blood bought, faithful children of God, we know that we will live forever with him. Forever. I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 there, verse 9. Let's continue. I'm going to read that again. But this is precisely what is written.
Yeah.
God has prepared things for those who love him that no eye has seen or ear has heard. Or that haven't crossed the mind of any human being. But it was, verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit reaches out and searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. God reveals these things. The things that he has prepared for those who love him by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He has given us his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Comforter. He's our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby. He's on standby waiting for you to call him to duty.
That's right.
Call on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's living in you. Because if you do that, that means he's been awake all the time. You just opened up the channel for him to communicate to your spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus promises that Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. But he can't teach you if you ain't in his book. Because he has nothing to reveal to you. All depends on what you're reading. Holy Spirit will comfort us and guide us.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard not to be moved by what we see and what we hear every day.
Yeah.
You know, when we wake up in the morning, why don't we start it by quoting Psalm 118,
mm-hmm.
verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. You there yet, Shirley? It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, let's say that and make it personal now. So let's say that. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, I makes it you. You're the one. You got to rejoice in it. No matter what. So take each day and take it on with a smile on your face. Hallelujah. And a song of praise in your heart. See, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down. Love Him in the morning, love Him in the noontime, love Him when the sun goes down. He's good God Almighty. Praise His name no matter what comes. Because we know where we'd be without His mercy. Can somebody do that? My man's not here right now. He's got something taken care of. Praise God. So let's keep praising His name at the top of our lungs. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Oh, that was pretty good. But how about one more time with really feeling behind it? There you go. What's hallelujah mean? Praise Him. Praise Him. See, we can't imagine. I'm saying it. We can't imagine. And we can't expect more in 2024. For the prophets have prophesied 2024 as the year of more. More finances, more healings, more breakthroughs, more outpourings, more people coming to Jesus, more things happening. And they're going to happen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus, come on. Who do you think's in control here? Man's not in control. Oh, Lord, our Lord, Jehovah is the one in control. Yeah, that's what that means. Now, here's part of a prophecy given by Kenneth Copeland on October 27th, 2023, about 2024. God is going... 2024, he says, is going to be a powerful year. There are going to be some marvelous things happening. It is like the old saying, it will be the best of times and the worst of times. There are some things that will settle down during 2024. There are some things that will speed up. This outpouring of my spirit that has happened is happened all over the world and will get more intensified. It will be stronger and stronger and stronger. The devil will get all upset. But who does he think he is? I took his power away from him in his own domain. I embarrassed him in hell right in front of all that served him. And destroyed his power. And brought him to naught. And brought him to nothing. He has nothing left but to lie. And he'll lie and lie and lie. He will upset a lot of people. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Then you will have peace. Because you won't be afraid no more. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. That's what he said. I'm always with you. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, back to the prophet. There will still be wars and rumors of wars. But there are coming victories that you are going to be so thrilled about. There are going to be financial wars that you are going to win. So you can say amen to that because that's what I hear. See, this is why I miss your dad so much, Debbie. He knows when to amen. He knows when to say, that's right, I agree with that. That was what he was saying. 2024 will be a year of more and more and more and more. More finances, more healing, more miracles, more outpouring, more people coming to Jesus, more things happening. I am the God of increase, says the Lord. I am not the God of death. I am the God of war. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I must tell you something by the Spirit. This is still Kenneth Copeland. I believe in war. But there comes a time when mean, unreasonable, demonic people oppress people to the point that local law enforcement cannot handle it. That is when the Prince of Peace rises up and says, teach my hands to fight. So rejoice and be glad, for I have things well under control for those that will obey me and will listen to my voice. I will keep you and protect you throughout 2024. Pray, obey, and vote. Wow. And that's part of what he said. God has spoken to the prophets for 2024. Things are turning around. Miracles are happening. Restoration is moving along. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing. The blind are going to see. The lame are going to walk. Come on. You got to believe for it. See, I believe that those things are going to happen. And when they start happening, what do you better be getting up and praising God. And those that happens to you better be giving your testimony. Because see, when it comes from your mouth, it's better than when it comes from me telling people about your testimony. See, you make it real. Because they don't know, is Pastor adding something to it? Is he making it so it's pumping? No. I just tell you the way it is. But when they come up here, they can tell you because it's from their heart. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, see, we, the church, Christ's ecclesia, must be in daily intercession for our nation, that God's word will prevail over our elections, that God's chosen candidates will be elected to office in 2024. Our borders will be secure. The state of Texas has victory over the oppression by the Department of Homeland Security's Customs and Border Protection, the largest federal law enforcement agency who are in charge of securing our southern border. And they have done a terrible job. That the slate of those in leadership positions will be wiped clean and be replaced with God-fearing men and women. Come on. God is saving America. He is saving America. It's not, America shall be saved. He's doing it right now in front of our very eyes. This is the year that we can make a change. Like he says, pray, obey, and vote. Obey. Obey what you, when you pray, let the Holy Spirit clarify things to you so that you go into the voting booth. Hallelujah. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. The people who have chosen, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. We're talking about the United States here, as far as I'm concerned. There are those who are trying to destroy the foundational beliefs that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But it's all written through there. Yet, because that they don't want to interpret the Constitution as it was written. So we have Supreme Court justices who interpret the Constitution. We have men and women interpreting what God had our forefathers, our founding fathers, put down. So we got to pray for those Supreme Court justices, because they're, I guarantee you, they're not all motivated by the Holy Spirit giving them direction for the proper interpretation of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. They are using so many of the things right now to weaponize them against us. And how they do that? They just continually did it slowly, and they created all these three-letter agencies that we have to bow to. Well, we don't have to bow to them. We only bow to the King of Kings. I'm just telling you. Ah, Jesus. I just need to let you know. Some people need to really wake up. And I'm not going to say it to y'all here, but I'm also saying that because there are people that listen to this on our website. Then CDs go out. I want everyone to hear this. Yeah. See, because we're not going to let that happen. We're going to make sure. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, we have a covenant with God. A covenant that was sealed by the blood of Jesus. And let me remind you, we are the seed of Abraham. God established a covenant with Abraham, which we are included, when God gave him his word. Because in Genesis 12:3, he said, I will bless you because I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. I like this part. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's for us. We're the seed of Abraham. Yeah. We family. Genesis 22:17. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Descendant may, and multiply your descendants as the stars of the earth, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. See, that's very important there. Your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. That's talking about us. But it was talking about his descendants. Abraham believed what God said, and God's word prevailed in Abraham's life. His enemies were never able to put him in bondage. His descendants, however, had a different experience. They did eventually go into bondage. They became slaves in the nation of Egypt. And they wound up suffering there for 400 years. Now, God eventually raised up Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But you know the thing that's shocking about this? They could have been free the whole time. As descendants of Abraham, the Israelites were just as free the first day Pharaoh enslaved them as the day Moses led them out of Egypt. God's word would have worked for them the first day as well as it did the last. But they didn't know what God had said. And without his word, they didn't have any way of tapping into the power. Not us. Consequently, it was not active in their lives. See, they would cry out to God, complain to him about their circumstances. Then they would make more bricks for the Egyptians. They'd get beaten up time and time again by the taskmasters. Complain some more. And then you know what they would say? Oh, when is God going to do something? When is God going to do something? God had already done something for them more than 400 years earlier. In his covenant with Abraham, he had given his word that they would possess the gates of their enemies. The problem was the Israelites had forgotten that. But God, however, had not. In Exodus 2, 23, 24. Therefore it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Israel sighed. They sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried. And they cried. And it came up unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham. You've got to bring things to God's remembrance. It's what he wants you to do. Because that tells him that you're in his word. Bring his promises. Say, God, remember, you promised. That's right. He can't lie. God is well able. He's well able. He's made promises. And he will make them come through. But God, what's he do? He calls on a man. And not just any man. Calls on a man named Moses. Moses' entire ministry was on behalf of God's word in the earth. God essentially told him, here's what I said to Abraham. Write it down. Here's what I said I do for him and his descendants and what they are to do in response. Write it down. Yep. Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. God told him to write it down. Because, see, they had forgotten what was in the covenant with Abraham. So they were oppressed and in captivity there, basically, for 400 years, and didn't have to be. You got to know what your covenant means to you right now. That we have a covenant. Our covenant is actually even better. But we have the old plus the new. You know who guarantees all this to happen? The Holy Spirit. He's the guarantee of it. Because you can go to him and he can bring you enlightenment, revelation. He can bring you knowledge, understanding. Hallelujah. He can give you deep, deep insight into what is truly in God's word. God continued, though, this pattern all the way through the Bible. He would call on a prophet and tell him, here is part of what I'm saying in the earth. Write it down. Oh, right here. Write it down. Every word we see in the Bible was still as filled with the faith of God as it ever was. His words are as alive today as they were the day the Spirit of God released them into your hearts. And they were pinned on paper for us. They're still in this universe, and they are settled in heaven forever. All the corporate power of heaven, every angel hearkens unto the voice of his words. And we have a written copy of the word. Israelites didn't have it.
Right.
We do.
Yeah.
So we have the book. The book that contains everything God said to and about us. We can read it with our eyes, hear it with our ears, and feed it into our hearts. When God's faith-filled words are poured into us, they activate faith. They enable us to release the power of God's word through our words. And they put the law of faith into motion. There is no law that can stand against the law of faith. None. Listen, the devil himself can't keep it from working. See, we proved this when we were born again. If the devil could stop faith in the word from working in our lives, he would have done it right then. But he couldn't. He could not. We believed God's word about Jesus in our hearts and confessed him with our mouth and became a new creation. Basically, a new creature. The devil was totally helpless and could do nothing about it because God's word on the lips of a believer always prevails. Word up. Start working the word. The word works. The word works. Put your faith in the word when you speak it. You already know that the devil can't stop it. The one who stops the movement going forward is you. And it's me. As Vicky says. Am I right, Tim? Yeah, Vicky just goes, zip it. Because sometimes we don't know what we say. But every word of God is faithful. When he spoke it, things happened. It's proven. It's here. It is proven. Faith works.
Yeah.
It will work for you. It works for me. It will work for you. Amen. Thank you. And that's where I'm going.